Welcome to the weekly movie rundown. We're going to cover the movies for June 16th, 2014. This is the movies that are on DVD on June 17th, Tuesday, 2014, as well as the movies that are in theater on June 20th, 2014, on Friday. First up, we'll have to talk about, well... Yes, that's right. We're talking about Jersey Boys. Jersey Boys is obviously was the story of four seasons. And this movie is directed by none other than Clint Eastwood. It's the story of the four young men from the wrong side of the tracks in New Jersey who came together to form the iconic 1960s rock group, The Four Seasons. It stars Vincent Piazza, John Lloyd Young, Steve Sciarippa, Christopher Walken, even. One of the things that Clint Eastwood did in this particular movie was that he went out and got actors from the Tony Award-winning stage show. So he did not want actors that did not perform there. So this is a real rendition, and it is also one where they sang on set. So you're getting a real experience here. So if you had a great love of the early 60s, you know, as a start, this would be the movie for you. I think the only thing that I can remember about the Four Seasons is that one song, Oh What a Night, late 1963. It had a minor comeback in the 1990s, I think 1994, which was a formative period for yours truly. And I do recall that particular song. That being said, I don't think that... there's a lot of appeal for this particular group. I think if you had a strong like for, the Four Seasons, then this would be obviously the movie to see. But outside of that, I think it sounds pretty run-of-the-mill and wouldn't be something that I would rush out to see. It is getting a wide release this Friday, so if you're interested, it's available. Next up, we have Think Like a Man 2. I believe this is the only other movie in wide release this weekend. This is, I'm going to go straight from the box here. The highly anticipated sequel, which was inspired by Steve Harvey's best-selling book, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. All the couples are back for a wedding in Las Vegas, but plans for a romantic weekend go awry when their various misadventures get them into some compromising situations that threaten to derail the big event. Just reading that made me groan several times. I'm not a real big fan of Steve Harvey. Amazingly, I didn't see the first one. That being said, I did look at the actual preview. Preview didn't make me hate it as much as I thought it might. I do like Kevin Hart. He's pretty funny, and there's a couple of funny scenes in it. They have Gary Owen in there who seemingly plays a token white guy in this otherwise African American centered movie. It was interesting from that perspective, and actually the comedy that they portrayed in the trailer wasn't as horrible as I thought, even though it sounds like a very tried and redone type of movie. I think they put their own spins on it here, so this if this is your type of thing, it's in wide release. I'm sure it'll get a decent run. The first one was received fairly well, and obviously because they got a second one, and it's one of Steve Harvey's works from his, you know, based upon a book that he wrote, and the continuation of that story. So if you're into that, it's out there this coming week. Okay, the next two movies are probably movies that you're not going to be able to find very readily. They're going to have very limited releases. The first one is called Venus in Fur. It is a international film that is directed by none other than Roman Polanski. It's in French, and we'll put aside any misgivings you might have for Roman Polanski, including myself at this point, and just judge the movie on its own merit. Basically, this movie is about an actress attempting to convince a director how she's perfect for a role in his upcoming production. That's a very simple way of putting it. But what it's really about is the director is looking for somebody that can basically act correctly for the part of a woman who dominates a man in a virtually slavish way. And I think the transformation that takes place in the story is that she starts to take on the role, and the whole movie surrounds this audition, and I think it becomes more and more twisted along those lines, where movie and setting seem to blend together. I just got the vibe that it did a very good job of blending those two things together, and I think it was well received. I think this also has won some awards at various venues where that they show these movies. I think it was shown in November, but it is in France, so you're going to have to read. It's another one of those reading movies, but even for that, I think a lot of the sexuality, et cetera, that is intended in this movie will come through quite nicely. And so we may not get to see it in theaters, but this will be one to watch for in the forthcoming DVD arena, which should nonetheless follow rather quickly. And finally, in the in theater section, is another limited release movie entitled Coherence. This has quite a few minor characters. It's more of an independent type film. It's going to have a limited release. The synopsis is: on the night of an astronomical anomaly, eight friends at a dinner party experience a troubling change of reality-bending events, part cerebral sci-fi and part relationship drama. Coherence is a tightly focused, intimately shot film that quickly ratchets up with tension and mystery. I got that sense from the trailer, and I think that it would be something that I would give this one a shot. It's got some favorable reviews from critics and users that have had the opportunity to see it alike. It's directed by James Ward Burkett. I'm not familiar with a lot of his work. I think he was involved in a few other things, but nothing significant. So this is, sort of a debut for him. And I would give this one a shot. I don't think we're going to get a chance to see it in the theaters, but I'm throwing it out there as one to look for in the coming weeks and months on DVD as well. Okay, now we go into the DVDs that's coming out on 6/16, June 16th, Tuesday. The first one I'm going to talk about is what I think is probably the cream of the crop of this group, is the Lego Movie. It's the first ever full-length theatrical Lego adventure. The original 3D computer animated story follows Emmett, who's played by Chris Pratt, an ordinary rules-following, perfectly average Lego minifigure who is mistakenly identified as the most extraordinary person and the key to saving the world. He is drafted into a Fellowship of Strangers on an epic quest to stop an evil tyrant, a journey for which Emmett is hopelessly and hilariously underprepared. Now, this sounds like just like, a million other stories, but for some reason, looking at the trailer just brings out a lot of humor that you can only really convey through the Lego pieces themselves. I you know, everybody I think in the entire world can identify with Legos. We all, you know, I can say that probably the reason this movie, you know, came to be to some extent is the popularity of all the Lego stories that they did, the Batman ones, the, you know, Star Wars ones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, trilogy and more that they did. All those movies or games kind of gave you that type of humor that they're really conveying in the same way here in this story. And I think this was hugely received favorably by critics and audiences alike, both young and old. It's really got everything in it. And we all know the joy of Legos. On a recent trip, I had an opportunity to watch this, and I regret not watching it on the plane to Disney, where one of the stops was, interestingly enough, the Lego store. So this just resonates with just about every genre of person. You know, put a box of Legos in front of anyone, and they're going to sit there and probably build something if nobody's looking at them, at the very least. I say go rent this. You'll love it. Okay, next is the Grand Budapest Hotel, which recounts the adventures of Gustav H., a legendary concierge at a famous European hotel between the wars. And the wars would be World War I and World War II. And Zero Mustafa, the lobby boy who becomes his most trusted friend. The story involves the theft and recovery of a priceless Renaissance painting and the battle for an enormous family fortune, all against the backdrop of a suddenly changing, dramatic fashion continent. This has an amazing cast in it. I mean, we've got Ralph Fiennes, we got Tilda Swinton, we got Bill Murray, Jeff Goldblum, William Defoe is in there, and he's had some funny parts. Ed Norton's in there, Harvey Keitel, Jude Law. You just name it. This has got a terrific cast, and it's no wonder because it's directed by Wes Anderson. And Wes Anderson has done almost nothing but hits. I mean, starting '96 with Bottle Rocket, Rushmore in '89, The Royal Tannenbaums, The Squid in the Rail. He's a producer. The Jarling Limited, a Fantastic Mr. Fox, Moonrise Kingdom, which was an excellent and quirky movie, much like the feel that I got from this trailer as well. It's really got that Wes Anderson humor all over it. It's definitely one to go see. It's rentable. I would not, I would not reserve anything on it. I would go out and rent this one. Okay, next is what I'd call an unassuming title, Joe. It's directed by David Gordon Green. It's about an ex-con who's the unlikeliest of role models, meeting a 15-year-old boy, and he's faced with the choice of redemption or ruin. Now, Joe is played by Nicolas Cage, and there's a lot of other people I'm not real familiar with in this movie. I got the sense from the trailer, I almost felt like this is a Sling Blade movie without the mental handicap. That was basic sense I got out of this. Somebody who's been in jail before and trying to not go back to jail, getting involved and befriending a kid who's in an abusive situation, and all the things that surround that. A lot of the reviews on there were very favorable and saying this was, you know, Nick Cage going back to good roles and stuff like that. And perhaps it is. It just seems tired, you know, just on the surface. I don't know, you know. It's not that I'd say don't go see it, but I don't know. Something just
doesn't seem like it would be overly appealing to me. It seems like a tired script. The story's been told 100 times. I get the most sick of are movies that are the same almost movie I saw before with different people, in tiny little changes, you know, into the context. And then those movies win awards and nominations and all kinds of things, like this movie did. This movie won a couple of awards and nominations and the Venice Film Festival in 2013. I don't know. That's my take on it. Not that you shouldn't go see it. It's probably well done, but it just seems like we've done it before. I'd like to think I was going to end on a high note here, but it appears that I've just sort of petered out as we've gone along. The next movie that I'm going to talk to you about is The Machine, and it's about two artificial intelligence engineers coming together as they work to create the first ever self-aware artificial intelligence. A veteran AI engineer secretly hopes to develop technology to help his diseased daughter, even if it means funding comes from the powerful Ministry of Defense, Big Brother. His new partner, a young woman gifted in the field of AI, is brought on after her breakthroughs are recognized by the MOD. Things go wrong when the MOD takes over and advances the researcher's work to the next level, teaching the AI to kill and follow MOD instructions with its new, nearly indestructible body. Wow. It's the same thing. You know, it's like, we did iRobot. Let's do iRobot. Let's do artificial intelligence. Let's do big guys, turn that into weapons. Let's say that same thing over and over again. We get it. I mean, you're going to do a little bit different, and it'll be touching. There'll be redemption. Oh, and probably the robot becomes aware and becomes a good guy at the end. I don't know. I'm just guessing. You know, I looked at the trailer and I thought that was a possibility, that kindness comes out somehow. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't think that this is one that I would go, and I don't even know that I would try to rent this one. I think I'd wait for it to be streaming somewhere on Netflix or something before I'd watch this one. So that being said, there you have it. If you like that, it's definitely a sci-fi. Got some special effects. It looked like it was pretty well done. Shot, I'll give it that. It was shot well. But outside of that, no, I don't think so. All right, to really encapsulate the petering out, I don't know if you remember a few weeks back when we talked about a movie called Walk of Shame. It is now out on DVD. It didn't do real great in the box office. It's about a reporter's dream of becoming a news anchor is compromised after a one-night stand leaves her stranded in downtown L.A. without a phone, car, ID, or money, and only 8 hours to make it to the most important job interview of her life. It's that story. We got to get someplace real fast, and every bad thing in the world happens to you before you get there. This time, it's Elizabeth Banks, obviously very attractive, at the end of a night of, I guess, relations with a person in the form of a one-night stand. Therefore, she's got to get to this big interview. So it didn't do well in the box office, but it's now available. And maybe, you know, I actually thought that I thought that the clips weren't as horrible. Maybe it was just the clips that were okay. I don't know about the movie. It might be worth watching if you like a comedy of that type. You know what you're getting. And they have, you know, some attractive people doing the parts. So maybe that's the one to go see. Okay, let's talk about the projections in the top three. It's been a few weeks since we did the weekly movie rundown. We're going to get into a system of having one every week, hopefully on Tuesdays of every week. So look for that on wherever you're getting it from. And there are many options. However, that being said, this last week, number one was 22 Jump Street. He came in at $57 million on 3,306 theaters, and that's $17,000 per theater. Next up was How to Train Your Dragon 2 with $49,451,000, and that was in 4,253 theaters. And third place was Maleficent, which I think is a fantastic movie. I think I'll have a little piece at the end of this on Maleficent. And that was at $18,504,000, down 46%, in 3,623 theaters. We only have two real big releases, and they're not tremendous releases. We have Think Like a Man 2, which is probably the bigger release coming up, and we also have Jersey Boys, which will have a much expected much smaller showing, getting out of the gate with a much smaller audience. That being said, here, you know, who's going to come in first? Who's going to come in second? I actually think 22 Jump Street will hold first place. It wasn't in as many theaters as some of the others, and I think it will be able to hold off a strong charge for number two, which will be Think Like a Man 2. It'll be somewhere in the 30s. I think 22 Jump Street can probably hold it off. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. And in third place will be, I'll give it to How to Train Your Dragon 2 as the dominant kid movie there out. And that's how I'm playing it for this next week. Let's see how it rolls. So before I let you go, I just wanted to talk about one thing, and that's Maleficent. And I guess I saw a lot of negative reviews from critics about the tone of this movie and how it changed and how it was inconsistent and how one actual writer wrote, I didn't know what message it was trying to tell me. And that's when I think I just about jumped out of my skin, because I personally am sick of messages. I don't want to hear a message from my story. I'm okay with the story being a little gray and making you see life for what it is. I mean, Maleficent was somebody who was hurt badly in this story, and she became very dark, and she came through that to something different. Not quite as perfect as you might deem, but life is not perfect. And I think that clouded message really bothers, and I'll go so far as to say Americans, because I think a lot of times that's why I like some of the international films, is because they have clouded messages sometimes, and sometimes you're left wondering. Oftentimes when we take and remake movies that are originated in an international environment, we take those movies and we soften them and we change aspects of them that make them less appealing personally. So as far as I'm concerned, Maleficent did not have to have a storybook ending and an A plus B equals C. I liked its subversive nature, and I enjoyed it, and so did the audience. So critics be damned on that one.